The views expressed on PFW in Progress are not those of the New England Patriots, its affiliates, or any of its partners. Content may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
The following takes place between 12 p.m. and 2 p.m.
This is PFW in Progress.
The quarterback. Two receivers lined up to the left, one to the right. There's a flanker lined up to the left behind the quarterback. He gives the ball. No, he doesn't get the ball. The receiver goes all the way over there to the left. Once the quarterback has the ball, he fakes to the left. No, he fakes to the right. He doesn't fake. He thinks about faking. He pretends to fake.
PFW in Progress with Fred Kirsch.
It's not like you could use a shower.
Oh. Listen. You can think what you want about my personal hygiene, but please don't waste any water. That's bad policy.
Paul Perillo.
So that's what opening up a can of whoop-ass feels like.
Son, you just opened a whole case of whoop-ass.
And Andy. And Andy?
There, girl, you're seeing.
Seeing? I see a lot of girls. I see a lot of guys, too.
I think that's sexy. You ever been with a guy and a girl at the same time?
Oh, yeah, plenty of times. The other night, I was with my mama and Coach Klein at the same time.
Andy Hart.
And I like Vicky, and she likes me back. And she showed me her boobies, and I like them too.
Eric Scalavino.
I want you to think about all those mean people. They're going to be your tackling fuel.
Tackling fuel.
We're going to use them to play football.
Tackling fuel.
For now, anyway.
Ooh, I'm a football player.
Coach, I'd like to tackle him right now,
please.
Not yet. PFW in Progress, part of the Patriots Football Network.
Oh, no! We suck again!
All right, hello, Governor. We are back from London.
I didn't know East Gal was here.
Yeah, successful.
No, Fred's kidding. He's not.
Once again, dominating across the pond, 45-7 over the St. Louis Rams.
We should play all our games there. We kick ass there.
I love. I don't know who sent it, but somebody had a new architectural.
Awesome. Yeah, I like that.
Look for Gillette Stadium, where they replaced the lighthouse with Big Ben.
Awesome.
Elizabeth Tower, as they call it now.
Well, Big Ben is the bell inside the tower.
Yeah, I love it. I love it. That's a great idea.
Why don't we do it?
I'm all for it.
What do you think that would cost? A replica of the tower?
Probably not that much.
Right. I mean, you have the structure, so it's purely a facade around
it,
exactly. A wrap.
Yeah.
I think we should do it.
Yeah.
Did you show that to Jonathan?
I haven't yet.
Forward that to him.
Not a bad idea. All right, welcome to PFW in Progress. It's kind of a special, but not a special show. It's Tuesday, so everyone expects our show to be on a Tuesday at noon. But EEI didn't have Patriots Monday on Monday. They're having it today, but...
This is like one of those bill descriptions of the work week.
They're not in,
really
they're not in studio until later, so we figured we'd take advantage of it and do a show. So we'll be on until 1:30.
So that's special.
Yeah, 1:30 Eastern time, taking advantage of the open studio. Big Show will be here at 2 o'clock with Bill Belichick's exclusive in-studio interview, so you'll still have that, but we're here. From 12 to 1:30, webradio at patriots.com is the email address. 508-298-0398 is the ACE ticket hotline. And, like I started, a successful trip for the Patriots. You know, and a lot of pundits out there said, well, you know, the Patriots don't want to be here. They're acting mostly from Bill Belichick. They're acting like they don't want to be here.
yeah, but he acts like he doesn't want to be in Foxborough.
Right. Short week. Tough travel. They've been traveling a lot lately. Rams got there early. Blah, blah, blah.
Kick your ass.
I'm not exactly sure why it was a short week.
I'll be the first to admit, I did not expect a result like they had. I figured it would be a close game. I respected the Rams' defense. It was nowhere to be found.
But we got the result we would have expected about 6 weeks earlier.
Right. There you go.
We had been broken down by the season. It had beaten they're like the Seahawks. They're like, they can play a little defense. They can give you – and it started – it was this close to, uh-oh, here we go again with the 50-yard touchdown.
Right.
And then the team we expected showed up and kicked their ass.
Yep.
Yeah.
This number one – they were the 10th-ranked defense coming in, right? That's what we expected Brady to do against even – 10th-ranked defenses.
Correct.
Unless you are dominant, like number one defense in the NFL, can't be stopped, we expect that Brady is equally as good and better than you. And we saw that against this. My guy, I have to start first and foremost, Nate Solder owned Robert Quinn. Quinn was a non-factor. I knew I was in trouble when I think One of the first, second, third plays of the game, he fell down.
Well, it was slippery out there.
And he did. He looked at his cleat like, but I knew I was in trouble.
It did affect the pass rush, I thought. And both sides. Because I mean, the Patriots had a couple of blitzes that were effective, which I think we'll get into as we move on in the show. But I didn't think either side was able, and Bill talked about that.
Bill wasn't
really
happy.
That really affects the pass rush, the conditions like that. Andy was on it right away. He goes, my guy just fell down.
Yeah.
But we got the result we expected. They should beat up on teams like that, and they did.
But you said it right. We got the result we expected at the beginning of the season.
Oh, yeah, a while ago.
Right.
Well, for me personally, it would have been the result.
NFC West. I won't get into that.
We don't need to
go
into that.
You can go ahead, Paul.
No,
it's
the result I would have expected before the Jets game. When the Jets game was as close and competitive as it was, that's what made me take pause. I said, "All right, maybe we just have to now just treat all these games the same, and we can't expect." It was about the Patriots for me, not about the Rams. The Rams were what I thought they were. I thought they would score a little bit more, but I thought the Patriots' offense, they were leading the league in scoring heading into the game. I didn't expect the Rams to shut them down. I predicted 31-20 to the game. I was surprised by the 7 that the Rams got, not the 45 the Patriots got.
Right.
The Bears are what we thought they were.
So, you know, I was surprised that, A, the Rams didn't score more than 7, but just the ease at which the Patriots, you know, moved the ball up and down the field. And then, you know, once we had that scare with the first Rams drive, I was surprised that the Rams just kind of didn't try more things. And now I give credit to the Patriots pass rush. They tried, you know, they got some pressure on Bradford, and I think the Rams hurt themselves on offense with penalties. But, you know, whether or not, you know, and I talked to Ninkovich afterwards, and, you know, he...
Fist bump?
No, but, he said...
Mayo wasn't there?
He said, it wasn't just necessarily the fact that they blitzed more, but he said that, you know, because the offense started to gain that lead, obviously it looked like we were getting more pressure, and that's because we put them in that type of situation. He gave a lot of credit to Hightower being back and being closer to 100%. He said that allowed... He's part of what allows them to do more things with mm-hmm. that base. And he says, you know, Dante being back allowed us to do more things on defense. So maybe there's some truth to that. Maybe it's not
just... What did he say? Dante being back allowed us to do more things on base.
Well, you know, the thing about... I said to Eric, who's he talking about, Dante? Because I always think of Hightower as Dante. You know, not necessarily Dante.
You are
What do you think
funny.
Of him as?
Dante.
Dante. I always think of him as...
But he's not.
I know.
That's funny.
I believe that's what you called him when we interviewed him the day after the draft.
Right. Just so you know, that's the low point of your journalistic career, that you had to have Eric clarify something for you.
Who's Dante he's talking about?
You know, so I don't know if there's some assistant coach I didn't know about.
Well, there is, but he's the offensive line
right,
coach.
Right, right.
And where did he go? He never left.
Right.
That's interesting. I didn't know. I hadn't seen a
but
lot
it's
of those
But it's what we've kind of pointed to. That he is the most athletic, versatile in that group that could help in the pass rush, the blitzing. Actually, this week, he was an impact on one. Mayo was an impact a few times in the blitzing.
Occupying
not necessarily getting
people.
There, but being an impact guy. The one thing I will say is that's a bad offensive line. That was an offensive line that was starting a jag off the street they picked up a couple weeks ago.
Two of them.
Who's their third stringer. I mean, they were that's so bad they were hoping Wayne Hunter would play. Like,
well, you know, but when you bring up injuries, and you're right, that is a porous offensive line. Another thing that worried me going into this game, and it didn't get any better when the game started, is the Patriots' injuries. Once again, Chung and Gregory are out. Mankins, once again, is out. So I was worried about, you know, the defense. I was worried about, you know, Hernandez once again was out. We knew that early because he didn't travel. But, you know, what are they going to do? And they didn't seem to miss a beat. And, you know, I wrote in the edit letter, I gave all the credit to the offensive line. I think that they are doing great, even with the mismatch in the interior. The tackles you mentioned, Solder. I think Vollmer as well did a good
They've
job on the other side with Chris Long. You know, so a lot of credit goes to the offensive line and Dante.
And Dante.
Yeah, they were the tackles were outstanding again, and that's been a theme for like a month now. They've really been at the top of their games.
Dante was right on that. We really have not just for coaching them, but when he said the sky's not falling, basically they'll be fine. There'll be a couple hiccups because remember how bad it was. Now part of that was Cannon. Cannon really sucked in the preseason, and Vollmer wasn't out there. But Solder was equally as bad.
Yeah.
He was terrible.
Oh, he looked like he was getting rocked off his
and
feet.
Dante basically said, relax.
Yeah.
You know, his version of pump the brakes will be fine. And He was right.
Yep.
Yeah. For the Rams, though, it's more the offensive line, less injuries and more just talent. They didn't have it. I mean, like Andy said, the guy that was out was Wayne Hunter. The same thing would have happened had he played.
Yeah.
He was so bad the Jets couldn't wait to get rid of him and replace him. And the Jets' offensive line is terrible. So it wasn't so much an injury thing as it was a talent thing. That's a bad offensive line. And I think that's why I think Bill chose, you know, taking him at his game plan core. I think you have Hightower back. This is the week that we can do some of these things because we're probably going to confuse them. And the play Andy's talking about, Mayo comes up the middle. Mayo and Spikes sort of, you know, did the crisscross. Mayo comes in and occupies the center, and Spikes is basically unblocked.
Through the A-gap, you know, those famous A-gap.
Through I believe you called it the left side A-gap, and you read and react, Andy.
I call them the 1-3 gap. We did odd. I mean, one and
on defense.
No, 1-2 gap. We used to do odd even
on defense.
No. That's offense.
I've never heard of that.
You never call it
on defense. Offense, it's always A, B, C.
Yeah, defense. They were letters. You didn't on play offense, defense. They were numbers.
I guess they didn't.
anyway,
it was odd. It was odd. It was what odd to the left of the center and even to the right of the center or something like that.
For us, it was the opposite. Same.
Glory days. Yeah.
Exactly.
Well, apparently not for you. You didn't even play defense.
Listen, I don't remember any of my playbook. None of it. I didn't know it when I was there.
Fred just flew by the seat of his pants.
Right? Now, the one thing we talked about is all week we said there's a guy coming in who four straight games has had a 50-yard catch against this defense. That's bad news. And they hit it early. It was the exact same thing that happened in Seattle, almost eerily so.
It may be the same exact play.
And then he got hurt.
He had a toe injury.
He
right?
left and came back. I won't say he got hurt, but I wonder if that was a factor, too. And what Ninkovich said, in that time frame, the Patriots added to their lead. And then by the time he came back, maybe it was just kind of all discombobulated.
Yeah.
The other thing is what I was going to do on Take Tuesday and will do if Game Rewind ever becomes available out of New York. The next drive the Rams had, their second drive, they were moving. If you remember, they had a long pass, like a 17-yarder to get into Patriots territory that was called back because the guy went out of bounds first.
Right.
And then that illegal touching, the drive kind of stalled from there. Patriots drive down, score. You know, had the Patriots not scored there or had the Rams kept going and made it 14-7, maybe the game unfolds, you know, butterfly effect again from there. So,
Yep.
The next drive, the Patriots, the Rams scored on their first drive. The Patriots score on their first drive at 7-7. So now the Rams are like, okay, well, we got to match them. We got to get involved in a shootout here, even though that's not the way we want to play. They start at their own 12. They move out to the 42 and then get a pass from the 42. It was a 17-yard pass to the Patriots 41 that Andy's talking about. They got they're in Patriots territory. That gets canceled out by the penalty, the illegal touch. So now they're back at their 37, and they move again. They get a 9-yard pass right away. So it's second and six, manageable after the penalty, and they had an incomplete pass, and then they dial up one of those blitzes now. On the third down, and they were able to force an intentional grounding, which it was an incomplete pass anyway. They had a punt. But that little sequence right there was important for the Rams. You follow that on the Patriots. They had a long drive that culminated with the fourth down decision at the one, and Vereen gets in behind the block from big block by him, by the way, as a fullback on that play. And it's 14-7, and the Patriots were never really in trouble from that moment on.
That was it after that.
And Gronk.
Gronk, what a game by Gronk.
I love these games when it's like traditional Patriots, and I know it's weird to say this quickly into his career traditional, but I like when Welker is the leading receiver or Gronk is the player.
Well, that's it. Be predictable.
Yeah, just be who
be
you
predictable.
Are.
Well, I thought there was something offensively. Didn't you kind of get that impression that they were like, all right, you know what? Enough of this crap. Let's spread it out. Let's hit Gronk. Let's find Welker. Let's move the ball. Let's score points. We're up 28-7. Now we'll start running the ball.
Yeah.
And enough of this balance crap, you know, that, you know, we're keeping the other team in the game. Let's put our foot on their throat and then finish it in the second half. And Ridley was outstanding in the second half finishing it.
Yeah.
And I thought Gronk looked good, too. You know, we've wondered, is he healthy? Is he limited? I thought he looked like he had a little bounce in his step, which maybe he's hitting his stride midseason, getting healthy. Yeah. Who knows?
The Toy Soldier celebration was classic.
It's my top three all-time touchdown celebrations. Andy and I were laughing for like 5 minutes.
Yeah.
The second one wasn't all that bad either. It was just indescribable.
Right. What's he doing?
Well,
I call it the hula hoop.
I said he was churning butter while humping it. And, you know, he clearly was humping because he said, ask Dion. And remember Dion's old gyration dances that Paul and I used to say, if that had been in the 50s, you wouldn't be able to show it on TV.
Right.
So it's some sort of humping.
Okay.
And the best part, I urge people to check out our cover, Patriots Football Weekly, not for the words that Fred hates, but the photo of Gronk churning the butter while humping it. He also is sticking his tongue out, which even makes it more like sexual in
nature. Said afterwards,
it was funny.
We were walking from getting our luggage to the bus in Logan after we got back, and I said, hey, Gronk, big week for you. You made the cover of PFW. He said, what's that? So apparently not too many players know that they even have it.
Well, I wouldn't use him as the barometer.
Well, that's
you could have said, you're in the Bible. What's that?
I also wouldn't advertise to too many people that
we have a newspaper.
Yeah,
we do.
They don't need to know about
Hey, what did they say about me?
Steve Israel. I don't read the papers, but I was flipping through PFW.
Right. Webradio at Patriots.com, 508-298-0398. Aside from the game, which was a tremendous success, the whole trip was a success. Once again, Patriots logistic people that do that did a great job.
But and new people.
Yeah.
It's not the same people, so you need to praise them.
And I thought that one of the, to me, highlights, even though I didn't get to see it, I thought a little history was made when Bill Belichick decided at the spur of the moment to bring the team literally across the street from the hotel into Hyde Park and do an impromptu walkthrough, which, as far as I know, it's the first NFL team to do a practice in Hyde Park. It'd be like if Manchester United went to Central Park or the Boston Common and did it.
I saw your tweet about that.
Yeah,
I thought that was
really, really cool. And, you know, a couple people who just happened to be around, Reese saw the tail end of it, and Albert Breer saw it. They said, you know, like passerbys are walking by and like, wait, what's going on? These guys are big guys. And they would stop and kind of watch, like, just out of curiosity, not even Patriots fans, like, what is going on here?
Right.
So I thought that was really cool.
It was. And apparently it was because where they were supposed to do it was not available. They were going to do it in the ballroom like they've done, and they couldn't for some reason. So they just crossed the street there. I think that is ridiculously cool.
And I think, you know, with all the, you know, cloak and dagger that the Patriots have, and, you know, we can't have anyone see it, I don't think you had to worry about it so much there because the people that were walking by had no clue who they were, let alone what they were doing.
Plus, it also really wasn't anything. I mean, he admitted that was their transition day. That wasn't even their pregame walkthrough. I think that was their get their blood flowing walkthrough.
Yeah, could be.
That was their – so I'm not even sure it was, because in a pregame walkthrough, you do everything. You know, you line up how you're going to kick off, then you line up how you're going to punt, then you line up this. It's stuff you're going to use.
It's
formations.
The true rehearsal.
I think, was more get the blood flowing, let's get out, you know, whatever.
Right.
So I think he had less to worry about even if there were
and
any
And I think, you know, the way we did it flying with the red eye, you don't want guys going to the room and going to bed.
Right, and getting all out of whack.
Right.
And then they're up at midnight. And
right. You want them to stay up and, like you said, keep the blood flowing and just get into a normal routine on that clock.
Now, do you think it's a bad sign that it really didn't draw that much attention?
Now, what do you mean by that?
Well, I just wonder, like you said, if Manchester United were in New York City practicing, I think it would draw attention.
Well,
if they were, you know, quickly, in this day and age of Twitter, I think you would suddenly, man, you was in Central Park. Man,
right.
And it didn't really do that. I heard like 20 people.
Okay.
So is that a bad sign that?
Yeah, I don't know. It was a Friday afternoon, so people were working.
Right.
You know?
And you're in a busy area. I mean, there's enough people that could have walked across the street from any place.
Yeah.
And I wonder if that's for, and I'm talking about for Robert Kraft NFL.
Look,
is that
how long
bad
were
sign?
They there?
It was about an hour. Now, to make that argument for you, even on game day or the day before game day, in order to find anything about the Patriots, you had to go, like, I think it was 20 pages into the sports section of the main.
But that doesn't bother me as much, because that, I think, would happen here. I think Manchester United here would get buried a lot of times. You know, the Globe might do some fluffy feature. But
Stan Grossfeld would have
But I think it would sort of be buried. But I think in terms of people, I think there's enough people that follow Man U that would spread pretty quickly.
Yeah.
And I don't know that there's enough of that over there. Because you have passion. Like, we have UK Patriots, but I don't know if, you know, they weren't all within walking distance for 5 minutes.
Right.
I think you could find Man U fans that were within walking distance, or even just people curiosity. Oh, I've always heard about Manchester United. Should I go see it? Like,
right.
and you didn't really get that for the Patriots. Does that say, well, there's not really as much of a...
It might. I mean, you know, that's a whole other discussion, and a lot of people were talking about it, whether or not it could ever work. Robert Kraft mentioned UK Patriots at the big party we had Saturday night. Robert Kraft got on stage and, you know, again said, you know, it's about time that, you know, London had its own team, and obviously everyone cheered, but our UK Patriots fans said we would stick with the Patriots. We might go see a game or two per season, but we'd still be Patriots fans. So I don't know. I don't know if it's viable. You know, we can talk about that
later. Yeah, that's a different – I just
– Yeah.
You brought up the practice, and I wondered kind of how
that – Well, I wonder what it would be like if, you know, your apples-to-apples comparison, if Man U were – practice.
Did an impromptu practice.
You know, that no one knew about. They were going to, and all of a sudden they popped up on Boston Common for an hour.
Right.
I wonder what it would be like.
Yeah. I'll bet you it would be bigger.
I think so.
Yeah, because, you know, you think of all the people that live in Boston and how there's a lot of soccer fans in Boston,
mm-hmm.
You know, because of where all they come from. And I
right.
think if all of a sudden an EPL team was practicing, I think you'd get a lot of, you know, people going over to see that.
I do too.
Yeah.
But back to the game.
Back to the trip. I mentioned the Saturday night party at the Sports Cafe in Haymarket was another great success. UK Patriot Fan Club just did a great job pre-selling tickets, organizing the whole thing. What a great fan club they are. Those guys are unbelievably passionate.
Well, we don't need to talk about it again, but I think that's funny that Robert Kraft is wants a team over there when his team is the most popular team, and, you know, the UK Patriots fans, they want to stay
right.
Patriots fans. They don't want
right.
to now transition to some
right.
Jag franchise or literally the
well,
Jags.
Well, I think
maybe.
He's looking at it from the league. It's just
yeah.
better for the league to, you
probably.
Know, yeah.
But I loved the T-shirts they had. I think you had one on with the
yeah,
Belichick
James,
hood.
James Cuff, who's one of the leaders of the Patriots fan club, is a graphic designer over there,
mm-hmm.
and he made a T-shirt. It's Bill Belichick. It's a cartoon, Bill Belichick in his hoodie. With the Silence of the Lambs face, what's the name? Hannibal Lecter.
Right.
Mask on, and underneath it says Silence of the Rams.
It was pretty cool.
Yeah, so we all had those T-shirts on Saturday night, and I was thinking to myself, boy, if the Patriots lose, I can never wear this T-shirt again.
Right.
But now that they won, puts it into play.
So you all had those on, except for Eric?
Yeah, Eric didn't.
Yeah.
Now, that brings me to another point.
Eric had one and chose not to wear it?
No, he didn't have one.
Oh, okay. They don't like
well,
him.
Well, he didn't have one because he didn't go to the night before party, which he was invited to.
So it all gets back to he's a douche.
Right. Well, I mean, you know, the UK Patriot guys are really upset with Escal.
They should be. First of all, it shouldn't be Escal.
Yeah, he changed his Twitter handle to Escal. And he was
distanced
at,
himself from PFW.
He was at
PFW.
The party, but
I blocked him.
He left early because he says he was meeting a woman that he met over there.
Or a girl.
Well, yeah.
Depending on, you know.
Yeah.
No, a girl, because he wouldn't meet a woman. He
right.
has no interest in women.
Well,
he only goes
point.
After 20-year-old girls.
Anyway, so he left early to meet her, and it's no secret because he told apparently a lot of people, because a lot of people knew
well,
that he had met someone over there.
He's bragging.
Yeah.
I mean, as he should. If he indeed met a girl, for someone who's gone this long without meeting a girl.
As he should, Andy says.
Well,
I mean, when your dry spell is that dry and that long.
Well, the dry spell isn't meeting someone. It's something else, right? We don't know if that
well,
happened.
Well, that.
I'm quite certain.
No,
that
we
that
know
still,
that didn't happen.
I'm
that's,
quite certain that's still in
that streak is intact.
The way he was strutting.
It's like the Patriots' 350 yards on offense.
The way he was strutting around Sunday. You know, it could
he
have
struts
happened.
Around all the time for a guy who's done
well,
nothing in life and had not
well,
had sex
he,
for 20
he
years.
He had his peacock feathers out Sunday, so.
He always does. You're misreading that. He always has the cock of the walk.
All right. Well.
I mean, just watch. The next road trip you go on, if you guys are meeting in the lobby.
Well, you don't because you don't like him, and I agree with you on that.
Oh, okay. So you don't do that anymore?
What?
You don't meet him in the lobby anymore?
Sometimes we meet in the lobby.
Well, if you do.
Although,
and you happen
Buffalo
to be...
he didn't because he was sniffing out somebody else and... You know, usually I go out with the photographers and maybe some of the 98.5 guys come along.
Watch him get off the elevator and meet you guys in the lobby. And just watch the way he walks. It's I can't describe it. You need to just see it.
Well, maybe that's just because he's in high heels.
Well, it's a strut of significance that I can't even describe.
Okay. But he did meet a woman, and that's
maybe.
That's his reason.
No. He says he met a woman.
Okay. And that's his excuse for not being social on Saturday night.
Unfortunately, he came back, though, huh?
Yeah, we were hoping maybe he just stayed.
I sat next to him.
I thought maybe he would just take all his stuff and it would be like, you know, one of those, you know, like early 80s Russian defect.
Yeah.
You know, maybe he'd do it the other way.
One of two things are going to happen. Back. One of two things are going to happen. He's going to plan, his next trip is going to be back to London to meet her, or he's going to figure out a way to fly her back here, which I would highly think twice about if I was her, because he may not ever let her leave. He might hold her captive.
Now, you're assuming she exists. I think that's a bold assumption.
I think she's
part.
In the greater Niagara Falls area.
I think she does.
I don't.
You don't?
No.
Okay. This is just a figment of his imagination.
Yeah, he wanted to leave the party. He made up an excuse. I think that's all it is. But you know he's madly in love.
No, but he met her
He probably
Friday.
Already has her as the screensaver on his computer.
He met her Friday.
I think that there's a girl that exists. I think what he thinks of the relationship is different than what it is.
Probably.
So I'm kind of in the middle of you guys. I think she actually exists, so I think Andy's taken it a step too far. But I don't think it's any sort of
she might have been
relationship.
A tour guide.
I'm
a
sorry.
Tour
in a day. I'm sorry. You know, he doesn't.
And she's like, oh, you thought, well, you're like twice my age. No.
Ew.
Yeah, ew. We've heard that before from 20-year-olds.
Well, we don't know what he told her as far as his age goes. You know.
Well, he doesn't look young.
He might have told her I choose to shave my head.
But even that, I don't think he looks young.
Yeah, because we all do that. I could have hair if I wanted it.
Yeah, does anybody do that?
Swimmers? And he's a swimmer. No, so he has a built-in. He swims
a
week
at
the Y.
He swims. He is not a swimmer.
Now I know why he does that. He swims at least once a week, so we can say that's why I shave my head.
He swims. He is not a swimmer. There is a difference. You know the 10-sack guy or guy who had 10 sacks?
He's actually a good swimmer. Let's face it. He's a good swimmer.
But he does not swim.
Andy?
You don't have that much endurance if you don't swim a lot.
He doesn't have any endurance, if you know what I mean. I can guarantee
well,
it after
that,
20 years.
I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about swimming. You know, so. Anyway. All right.
We'll do this again when he's here so he can get mad, too.
Webradio at patriots.com, 508-298-0398 is the ACE ticket hotline. Let's go to the phones. Jeff in Vegas is very eager to talk to us. What's going on, Jeff?
Hi, guys. How are you?
Good.
Good to hear you're alive. You made it through. You were a little late the other day. Fred doesn't know that. Jeff was not our first caller for the first time ever on the pregame social.
Wow. A lot of listeners then, huh?
Okay. We'll go with that.
We wish, Fred. I actually slept through my alarm clock at full volume for 27 minutes.
It's a tough life out in Vegas. So you're celebrating your winnings here? We got the over?
I did, unlike Fred, who was concerned about this game, I think Jeff in Vegas, you know, predicted New England big. However,
that's where you usually say, I think I predicted the game.
Right, now we're talking in the third person.
However, because Paul Perillo got both the side and the over, maybe he should be scheduled for lunch on Thursday.
Okay, we'll schedule
Paul
him.
Doesn't actually partake in actual.
Yeah, I didn't actually win anything for my accurate prediction. And I also buy lunch more than my share.
And speaking of which, I think I might be like 7-1 as far as the side goes on the games this year.
I'm sure you are.
You, like Paul, keep the book.
Speaking of great news, you guys are still alive. You made it through the Frankenstorm, through the storm of the millennium, did you?
Yes.
Right, we did. Yep. And you know, for those wondering what the flight was like, it was actually not a problem at all. We left 4 hours earlier than scheduled. I know there were some tweets by some reporters saying the Patriots were delayed. No, because there were rumors that we were going to fly out at 5. No, we left the hotel at 5 in the morning, and our flight left at about 9 o'clock. So we were actually 4 hours earlier than we were scheduled, and because of that, we pretty much beat the storm. No problems landing. You know, great kudos to the Virgin Airways.
All the Virgins out there.
Yeah, flight people.
Eric.
But It was not a bad flight at all.
Yeah, that could be a great sponsorship for Eric's nightlife.
Right.
Super quick, it was nice to see. I listened to the Belichick post-game press conference, and it was sort of nice to see that Bill was really relaxed. And as a fan, it's sort of we can relax too. We got the bye week, and it was a great dichotomy watching the Patriots game and then seeing the Jets just get pounded by the Dolphins right alongside.
That's great. That just always makes my Sunday better.
And yeah. Bill was relaxed. I did notice that, too. And I don't know if that's just the bye week or the letdown of being away from home and that whole, you know, getting through that experience. But he did have an air of relaxation to him.
Sure.
Or maybe he knew they were leaving.
And the Gronk comment, too. He's like, Gronk-like grass, too.
Yeah.
Really funny. I don't know if you caught that.
I did.
last thing in conclusion, then I'll let Christian come along and pick up the scraps as far as the second-rate callers.
Wow.
Now that it's sort of like a fact now that Brady, I think you can make a strong argument, he's the best regular season quarterback of all time.
Okay, all right, yeah, okay.
If the Pats were to run the table and get one more ring, would he be the best?
You know, in order to get to five or six Super Bowls, you have to win some playoff games too. So, you know.
And what about Peyton Manning? That was the argument on Peyton Manning, was he was the regular season guy.
How many Super Bowls has Brady been to?
I don't mean that in a pejorative way.
He
is the best regular season quarterback of all time, right, as it stands now.
Yeah, I don't think you can ever definitively say those things really either way. I don't think one more makes him the greatest ever. I don't think he's not the greatest ever right now. I think if you want to argue it, you could argue he's the greatest ever right now.
And didn't he have a pretty good game last Super Bowl, other than the grounding call and the pass to Welker?
He did what he had to do both games. Yeah.
Except hit Welker on the winning play.
He was great in the second and third quarters. He wasn't so great in the first and fourth.
It's kind of his MO.
They only had the ball for like 2 minutes in the first quarter, and I know that was because of his mistake.
I was going to say, part of the reason
right.
for that was him.
But, I mean, you know.
Part of the reason.
No,
yeah.
the other part of the reason was this defense,
everybody
said played well,
the field,
sucked.
Right.
Everybody looks at the score right. and says they didn't have any points.
Brady,
yeah, they let him march up and down the field at will.
Say Brady didn't have a good Super Bowl in 2011. Well, I think that's what Jeff is insinuating, and I think it's ridiculous.
I think you're actually taking what he meant as a positive and spinning it into a negative.
Yeah.
Thank you.
As Pac-Man would say,
the tone I got from Jeff.
That's not a shot to say that he's the best regular season, because it certainly was. When they said it about Peyton Manning for 10 years.
Right, but I don't think it was a shot. I think they're saying he's the best regular season quarterback of all time, and if he wins another, he'll cement just everything.
Yeah. Thank you, Andy.
I'm bringing reason to this. Don't worry. Fred's ultra-sensitive. He's tired.
Maybe I am, because
I've
heard a lot of people
You know what?
Say,
maybe I am.
Because Brady is, washed up and all that. I'm a little sick of it.
Oh, for God's sakes.
Thank you, Andy, for being so positive, not taking this.
You know, it's what I do on this
show.
What
do they call it? Like a straw man argument? What is the term for that when you hear, like, this, like, one lone voice in the wilderness and you think it's like the groundswell?
Is it
Brady's
one,
done. You've actually heard that from more than one person?
One lone voice? Really?
That Brady's done? People are saying Brady's done.
Oh, he's not as good as he used to be.
He's not.
Oh, come on.
I mean, listeners, as good as he used to be? Come on.
He's not as good as he used to be. Because I can point to a definitive factual example of that is his pocket movement.
I think he's better now than he was in 04 and 03 when he won Super Bowls.
Yeah,
what?
I am not
so
sure.
Oh, I think so.
That's his backup argument.
And it's seeing the field and knowing where everyone is. That will let him play well into his 40s.
Oh, yeah. I don't see any sign that he's done. You know, I'm not sure he has the 10 more years that he keeps saying.
Yeah, I don't think he's going to play well into his 40s.
I'll give you that. All right, Jeff. Well, thanks for the call. Congratulations on all your money that you've won.
You know what else was funny, too, Freddie, on your travel thing?
Yeah.
During the pregame social, Chris Mortensen from ESPN tweets out, Patriots not expected to be affected by the weather. They will fly out as scheduled following the game.
And I'm like, oh,
so Andy
God.
And I are like, well,
what
not
does that
scheduled
mean?
To
well,
fly out
the
following
game
could
be the
game
a week later,
right? And if you mean right after the game, then that's not when it
that's
was scheduled.
That's not when they were scheduled, so they were affected.
Oh yeah,
you know, it's like
talk about a misleading tweet.
Yeah. It was a pig. You know what?
Yep. All right, food's here. Give us a little time to eat it, and we'll be back. A lot of emails coming in, a funny limerick, and people really upset with Eric. So we'll get to that right after this.
Sullivan Tire and Auto Repair is your Bridgestone Tire headquarters in New England. We have thousands of quality Bridgestone tires in stock at great prices. Save big on such tires as the Bridgestone Dueler HL Alenza, Turanza EL400, the Dueler HT and AT, and the Potenza G0 19 Grid. And if you're looking for a quality tire to get you through the winter, we have Bridgestone Blizzak tires in stock now. Remember, we are New England's headquarters for top flight maintenance, with over 100 ASC certified master technicians on staff. Utilizing state-of-the-art diagnostic equipment, plus easy online appointments, comfortable waiting areas with free Wi-Fi, free shuttle service, over 65 locations across New England, and the best customer service in the industry. Check out the everyday low prices on Bridgestone tires and make your appointment today at SullivanTire.com. This approval solely for the purpose of evaluating compliance with Bridgestone's co-op policy. This approval does not in any way constitute, and Bridgestone expressly disclaims, any legal opinion or representation that the ad complies with any applicable laws, rules, or regulations.
My name
name is Terry, and not too long ago, I couldn't tell a first down from a touchdown, a flea flicker from a flea circus. But then I got NFL Mobile from Verizon. I can watch every Thursday, Sunday, and Monday night NFL game live, right on my smartphone.
Nice call on the game yesterday, Terry.
I told you they couldn't stop the run. Plus, with access to NFL Network, I can watch highlights whenever I want.
Huge fantasy week. How did you know to start Mayo?
Woman's intuition, I guess. And with NFL Red Zone, I won't miss a touchdown on Sunday afternoons.
Up top, T-Mac.
You know it.
Offense is looking good, huh, Terry?
Good? They've been lethal in the red zone, Tim. Lethal. Rookie.
With NFL Mobile on Verizon 4G LTE, no one will know the game better than you. Call Star NFL to get it now. Verizon, official wireless provider of the New England Patriots. Airtime, message, and data rates may apply. Available on select smartphones. Coverage not available everywhere. Remember, don't call or text while driving.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live. Shop retailers and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Healthcare Center, located on-site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epoche. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. An exciting Patriots season is here, and Ace Ticket is proud to be the official fan travel partner of the New England Patriots. Ace Ticket is your trusted source. We have the best seats at the lowest prices for all your favorite Boston teams. Ace Ticket is now selling Celtics tickets to all games, with free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square or right across the street from Boston Garden. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com. 1-800-MY-SEATS.
This is Rob Gronkowski. I get lots of mail from fans asking me how they can be more like me, Gronk. It's easy. First, just head down to Dunkin' Donuts and pick up a freshly made bakery sandwich. Second, get a sweet nickname. Third, bench press 225 pounds 28 times. That's it. You're just like me, Gronk. Now hurry into Dunkin' Donuts and grab a bakery sandwich today. Gronk runs on Dunkin'.
Price and participation may vary. New England Patriots and Patriots and related logos are trademarks of New England Patriots, LLC.
What would make your life better? Start with better banking from Sovereign Bank. More than a checking account, better banking is a package of financial solutions with preferred rates, debit card cash rewards, and online banking with bill pay, along with the flexible options you need to help make your everyday a little easier to manage. And now Sovereign is part of Santander, one of the strongest, safest, and most successful banks in the world. That's what we call better banking. Sovereign Bank. Member FDIC.
And now, story time with Fred Kirsch.
I had this dream. I was in this, it was sort of like a cafeteria setting with big glass windows, and a lot of people there were people that we worked with and like on the travel party. So we're looking, and there's this weather coming, and it's like dark clouds, and it turns into this tornado. So I'm like, everybody get away from the windows. We get away from the windows, and trees are coming down, but luckily nothing happened. So then that passes, and then we decide that, okay, dinner is coming soon, but a lot of us wanted to work out after dinner, so this cafeteria turns into a hotel, and now a lot of us have to go up in the elevator to get our gym stuff, because after we eat, we're going to work out. So we get in the elevator, and it's a bunch of people, and one of them's Gino, and Gino has no pants on, Gino Capoletti, and his unit is attached to his hip.
Hello.
And it was like,
hello.
It was like a weird deformity, like that no one ever knew about, but there it was. It's like, and my thoughts going through my mind was, how does he like explain that to women?
Why are you having dreams about Gino's unit?
Thanks, it was attached to his hip.
I don't care where it's attached. Why are you thinking about his unit?
I don't know. It was just a weird dream.
That was Story Time with Fred Kirsch.
Next week, you're going to tell Gino this story, right? Please.
No. And you better not bring it up either. Oh.
All right. Back here in PFW in Progress, a kind of special edition. We'll be here until 1:30, and then we'll give away to the big show in the studio, where, of course, they'll have Bill Belichick as they do every Patriots Monday, even though it's a Tuesday. So, but somebody tweeted out a picture of me on stage next to Gil Santos, and we were hip to hip.
Yes.
Somebody said, oh, isn't look at that.
I enjoyed that. Speaking of pictures, what were they singing or chanting in the big circle thing with you kind of looking in the background?
It was the cheerleaders were just doing a cheer for them. I forget what it was.
No, I saw the UK people in a circle, yeah. like a scrum.
Well, all the UK Patriot people, or some of them, were helping me organize everything. So they were all on stage. So she brought them up and did a cheer, a team cheer.
Nice.
Yeah, the cheerleaders, by the way, did a great job. We had four cheerleaders there signing calendars throughout the night and selling the raffle tickets, and they were there, you know, from 6 o'clock till 9:30 till it ended, doing just great work, great work.
Nice.
I don't know how they deal with it, though. I mean, all these guys, these sweaty guys coming up to them and, you know, taking pictures with them and everything is like, ugh.
Staring at their tatas.
And, you know, I do love our friends over the pond, but there is a lack of deodorant being used over there. I don't know what the deal is, but, you know, I see Gillette commercials on the TV during the soccer matches. I don't know why. You know,
so you're saying it's not good advertising. It's not working.
It's not working. Yeah, but yeah, good job. I ever Pat Patriot was there. He had his costume on the whole time. I don't know how he did that. You know that he must have
no
lost
Pat
about,
Patriot didn't have his costume on. The guy who plays Pat Patriot,
he must have lost 20 pounds because it was hot.
Oh, maybe you should have done it.
But great job.
Now,
by
did
the
you
sports
have a rope area?
No, velvet rope. Oh. You weren't there. No need.
Whew, I might have joined Eric and left early.
Yeah, no need to have the velvet rope this year because you weren't there.
Did you use your Veet?
We were all one. No, but I brought it with me.
Are you going to use it?
No.
Come on. Why?
No need.
I
have the man groomer.
Yeah, but if you use your Veet, won't that last longer?
I think you'd have to do multiple times. Yeah.
They gave you a gift and you're not going to use it.
No, I'm going to display it here. Down here in the
you
studio.
You mean the bottle of Veet, right?
What?
The other end.
Yeah. It's always on his mind, Paul. It's always on his mind.
All right. Let's get to some emails
let's
about the game.
Webradio@patriots.com is the email address. Dave in Milwaukee writes in, don't know what to make of the win on Sunday. The defense did some plays that allowed them to get off the field, no question. However, it was against an inept offense and a porous offensive line. The pressure they got on Bradford was able to help out the secondary, and I think we saw that with pressure on the opposing QB, the secondary can handle itself a little better, which is why I would like to see more linebacker and cornerback blitzes against teams that are more in tune offensively. Our linebackers and cornerbacks are terrible in coverage anyway, so I feel like you have nothing to lose by taking some more chances on some blitzes more often. I feel like this was something we did far more with the likes of McGinnis, Law, Bruschi, but have moved away from it in the past 3 years or so, and I can't figure out why, especially given what we've seen out of the secondary when the quarterback has an average amount of time to throw. Love the show. Keep up the great work. So, I mean, first of all, do you think that there wasn't out of the ordinary amount of blitzes on Sunday? And before this, did they do more of it? You know, like you said, 3 years ago or in the past when they had McGinnis, Law, Harris, and those guys.
Well, you know, I don't know necessarily the percentages. I thought there was more special stuff on Sunday. I know Bill sort of downplayed that and said, you know, I'll have to go back and look. I'm not sure there was any more than is normally the case. But even if they weren't blitzes in the traditional sense, you know, sending more than four, I thought they did some different things to get pressure on Sunday than they had previously often anyway. In the past, as far as the past goes, you know, McGinnis is an outside linebacker who rushes a lot. I mean, he's not necessarily a blitzer when he comes. I think Rodney Harrison's a guy they used to send on some blitzes out of the slot from time to time. And I think that when you have that kind of talent on defense, it affords you the luxury of being able to do some of those different things. And I thought the emailer made a good point. You know, the Rams' ineptitude on offense, I think, allows you to do some of those things. If you play some more sophisticated offenses or more talented offenses, I think you can run the risk of getting in trouble with some of that stuff. I've been a guy, and Andy and I have talked about this. It was one of our debates one of the weeks on the TV show. I would like to see a little bit more aggression because I feel like at least you make the other team execute at a higher degree of difficulty. Now, I think that you also run the risk of having that happen to you. And, you know, a guy like Peyton Manning, who's going to know where that pressure is coming from a lot of times, can burn you on that. Sam Bradford, with the lack of weapons and lack of time that he had on Sunday, wasn't able to do that.
I agree.
I think he's a guy that's gotten a little...
gun-shy?
Yeah, beat up. He's been hit so many times the last few years. I think he's a guy that maybe they targeted.
He's got a little
said,
Jim Plunkett in him.
I was alternately impressed with him on Sunday, and that kind of reaction.
He's going to be the perfect case of beat up and multiple offensive coordinators, and you're going to say, I wonder if it had been different, could he have been great?
Well, is that what you're going to go with?
Yep.
Okay.
That's what they said about Jim Plunkett, that he got beat up here in New England. You know, he just never had a chance to be who he was, you know, touted to be. I agree with Paul. I wish they would dial it up, take more chances. But going back to what the emailer's premise was, I don't remember the Patriots ever being a blitzing team. Mm-hmm. When I think of blitzing team, I think of the Saints, you know, over the last few years. Or, you know, the Steelers with their zone blitz or red dog blitz or whatever they used to call it over there. But I don't remember the Patriots being one of those teams where, they blitz a lot. Ever.
No, and part of that is what Paul said. When they were a 3-4 team, the three linemen are coming, and then one of the linebackers, that's not a blitz.
Right.
That's the fourth rusher on that play.
It's the fourth guy.
So, yeah, I don't think they were ever huge blitz numbers team. I'd love to see the percentages, but I bet you it's 10% down somewhere in there.
Yeah.
And I thought they did it a little bit more than they have all year on Sunday, and I thought it was a lot more successful.
John and Lynn has a little limerick. He said, last show, Andy asked Paul how long since he's been seen past his gut to a schlong. But to see his baloney past all that calzone, he'd have to have a 2-foot-long dong.
Now, that's funny.
Exactly, John.
Oh,
now, that's funny.
Wow.
And it would have to be erect.
Right. Oh, gee, you know, see, here we go. There was no need for that.
It's unbelievable how often it's on his mind.
There was no need for that.
Speaking along those lines.
And just so you know, like, I'm supposed to be humiliated if it was two feet. Oh, but that was fully erect.
Right, right.
That means he was watching Northeastern basketball.
Oh, no, that's funny. Okay. Johnny in Edinburgh, Scotland says,
you just came from over there, and we've corrected you a number of times. Can you say it the way it's supposed to be said?
Edinburgh.
Thank you. That's not like being pompous like Eric. In fact, it's the opposite. It's saying it the way it's said.
Hey, guys, hope you're avoiding the remnants of Super Sandy as best you can. I've seen the TV pictures from New York and New Jersey. It looks pretty brutal. We were lucky.
Yes.
We escaped it.
Yes.
But, yeah, down there.
Yeah, we have power outages and things like that, but for the most part, we didn't deal with the amount of devastation that they're,
you know,
just a little bit to the south of us.
Literally, trains from the freight yards were washed up onto the New Jersey Turnpike. I mean, that's
ridiculous.
Unbelievable. First, I'd like to apologize for the tone of my email. What's that,
yeah.
Kevin?
Adam Jones was very upset. He thought this whole thing was much ado about nothing. They were, like, wasting our time with all the preparation everything. And let's not pretend. I mean,
he's the first one to call 911
when
he needs help.
Right. But, I mean, even though it wasn't horrific here, people dealt with stuff. There were plenty of evacuations. There's plenty of trees on houses, trees on cars, you know. It's not like it was just, ho-hum. They predicted 7 inches of snow. We didn't get any. This was a smaller storm than in New Jersey, but still a pretty big storm.
Firstly, I'd like to apologize for the tone of my email on Thursday's show when questioning the attendance of Brady's appearance at the fan rally in Trafalgar Square. It was only when I heard it read out that I sounded like a complete tool, douche, a-hole, whatever you use to describe it. So sorry, guys, for questioning your comments, as I really have enjoyed the show having listened for the past couple of years now. Secondly, really enjoyed the game at Wembley on Sunday, seeing the Patriots dominate in a way that I'm not used to seeing in sporting teams that I support. The build-up to the game was heavily slanted on the subject of the possibility of a London franchise in the NFL within the next 5 or 10 years, and partway through the game, I realized that the UK crowd and existing NFL supporters would have to be a big factor if this is ever likely to happen. The atmosphere at the UK European sporting events is very different than those in the U.S., particularly football, where noise is encouraged when your team is defending, and there weren't many or sporadic pockets of fans who were trying to make noise whenever there was a third down. The atmosphere was generally good at the game, and the loudest cheers were heard whenever a score occurred. If a London-based franchise was created or moved here, I really don't know how many fans would change their allegiance to a new team. Personally speaking, it would take an awful lot for me to give up the Patriots or try to support a new team. Despite there being far more Patriots jerseys and fans at the game than I thought there would be, this really is still a novelty game with football fans attending for attendance sake, and could also be a reason that this is really a neutral game with neither team having a crowd noise advantage. Wembley is a great, great stadium. It can hold over 80,000 fans, and I'd be astonished if it could be sold out for 8 home games.
Well, you don't need 80,000.
No.
Not a lot of NFL stadium. I mean, the NFL average is probably like 68, 70,000.
Right. Presumably still that number by then. A season, possibly, they would use another of London's stadiums, as there are plenty with smaller capacities, especially as new franchises tend to be unsuccessful in the early years. We all know that popular teams are the ones that sell tickets, blah, blah, blah. I'd be keen to hear your opinions on this, as certainly Robert Kraft has been quoted as being a big fan of a London team. But I'm sure that the Patriots will be back within the next few years, especially as Jacksonville has been confirmed as playing here over the next 4 seasons. Again, any thoughts on whether we will be scheduled to play them? Eventually, we will play the AFC South, so we'll play them, right? Within the next 4 years.
We're playing them right now.
We're playing them this year, but then 4 years from now at least, right?
Right.
So,
yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if we go back over there. I mean, it works. The owner clearly wants it. The coach is at least semi-open to it. Yeah. And, you know, there's a support base, and it seems to work. We don't have to get the whole show of this, but I do find this whole thing of, you know, they don't need to change allegiances. If a team goes there, it's just like when you grow up here, you root for the Red Sox, the Celtics, the Bruins, and the Patriots, because I'm from here. That's what my team is. If you're in London and there's an NFL team, I would assume Londoners, maybe not Patriots fan, will root for that team because, well, I live in London. That's my team. That's, you know, they put a team here. That's my team now.
Right.
So I think you would add a lot of fans.
Buy season tickets.
Well, that's the question. But, I mean, I think you could start out with smaller crowds. The Jaguars, you can cover your, even if it's at Wembley, you cover your certain sections in the end zone or whatever and make it a 55,000-seat stadium like, you know, the old RCA Dome was a 50,000-seat stadium, and, you know, there's 50,000-seat stadiums, and then hopefully build up to where it's a premium ticket and you can add more seats or raise the price. Do they have luxury boxes there?
They had...
I don't remember.
I saw what looked like luxury boxes, kind of a ring up there midway up, but I, you know, with my binoculars, I was looking, and they don't look too luxurious, you know?
Well, they don't have to be.
Yeah.
I mean, if that's not what's expected there, it doesn't matter.
Yeah,
I mean, I would assume the luxury box owners that go to soccer are the same rich people you'd hope to get to come to football.
Right.
And whatever their expectation is of a luxury box is all it needs to be. It's not like Jerry Jones is going to say, this is beneath me. I get much better in the U.S.
One thing I heard, you know, they said, you know, can you imagine what a top college player will think, you know, if he gets drafted by a team in Europe and has to, you know, move over to either Germany or London to play? You know, they'll never do it. I'm like, first of all, they'll have no choice. But second of all, think about, you know, the best soccer leagues. They take players from all over the world. There's guys from Brazil playing in England. You go where you're being paid.
What about basketball and hockey?
Right.
They come from Europe to play here because it's the best.
Exactly.
And I also think if you're 21, and now if you're married or whatever, it's different, but I think that would be pretty cool. I'm going to be potentially the guy that brings a face to NFL in Europe. Like,
yeah.
I'm a forebearer of this great game. And
yeah.
Now, I have questions about it in terms of logistics and the money and the cap we've talked about.
But they'll figure that
out. Right.
Right.
But I just think I think there's a lot of kids that would look at it as, wow, that's pretty cool.
Yeah. I would tend to be on the other side. I think there'd be that guy would be in the minority. I think a lot of guys wouldn't want to do it. Now, you're right. They have no choice. If you get drafted, that's different. I think they'd have a hard time attracting free agents. I don't think people would necessarily want to go over there.
Free agents, I think, would be harder. But I think
what if
young
your living
players
is paid for? What if, like, for example, where you live, assuming you're not going to settle down when you retire and stay there, what if
for free agents, you mean?
Yeah. What if for the time you're there, your accommodations are paid for?
I think
that
would be enticing to certain families, certain people.
Yeah.
I think there are a lot of people that want, you know, I know Zoltán Mezco came the other way, but the type of person he is, interested in the world and a lot of, you know, Dante Stallworth, I think would have jumped at the
Eric
opportunity.
Eric Scalamino.
Yes, would have jumped at the opportunity to go there for 4 years, play football, live in a culture, learn things, and it's paid for too.
Right.
I mean,
Clint Dempsey, who played for the Revs, now plays.
How about Kevin Falk?
But I think
when he was
different.
Drafted at LSU, he wanted to get back on the plane. He joked, remember?
Right.
When he saw Foxborough.
Right.
So is London worse than Foxborough
exactly.
was, or is London worse than you just got drafted by the Jacksonville Jaguars? Good luck with that, kid.
Right.
Like, I think it is different. I think that I don't think there's a lot of kids that would want to live in Europe to enter the NFL. Now, there's plenty of people that do it just in general. You know, people, how many times you see college kids, the old cliche.
That's what they do, yeah.
That's what they do. They spend a year in Europe and they find themselves in
rich college
kids. And all that stuff. But I think it's different than the other sports. The other sports, you go in soccer, that's the best. You go where the best is. European hockey players come to the United States because the NHL is the best hockey league in the world. Well, the best league is in the United States.
So yeah, but you're still in the NFL.
I don't think that they would want to leave to play in the NFL if they had their choice. They would do it because Fred's right. They have no choice.
But the point is,
if there's a league,
point is there is a precedent for guys wanting to play in the best, and in order to do so, having to go to another country than where they live.
No, I know, but I don't think they would want to do it in football as much as you guys think that they would want to do it. Well, I don't think they would look at the experience.
See, I think
they would look at it as a pain.
American-centric view of it, because we've always had the best here. We just do it here.
Right.
You know, probably these hockey players, if they absolutely could play in the at
they
home and be
that,
in the best,
they would wish Switzerland had the best so they could stay home.
But it doesn't. They want to play in the NHL.
Right.
No, I agree with that. I don't think they would want to do it. They would do it because they had to. That's exactly what I'm saying.
Okay, but I'm
fully on board with what you just said. I think, if given the choice, the Russian hockey players wish the NHL was in Russia.
Absolutely.
I don't think they want to come here.
Yeah, given his choice, Tom Brady wouldn't be the quarterback of the New England Patriots.
Right. And
he'd be the San Francisco 49ers.
And much like Fred started it, first of all, they wouldn't have a choice. If they want to play in the NFL, that's what they would do.
Right.
And so all I'm saying is it's being done as we speak. It wouldn't be the NFL wouldn't be the first to ask guys who were born in one country
but they
to
would
play
be,
in another.
But they would be the first to have the two different continents involved in the same league.
True.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
That's different.
Right.
That makes it different. That's a logistic argument.
Yeah,
that's
not
the same argument
that
we're talking about.
The only difference is, oh man, all those other guys get to stay there and I have to go to London. That's the only difference, really.
Yeah, and I think that would be something that they wouldn't want to do. And like you said, the kids getting drafted out of college would be one thing, but I don't think you'd find a lot of free agents that would be looking to do that.
No, it would be specific people. Like I said, Stallworth, I think, is the type of
person. I have 32 teams to choose from here in the United States, or I can go over to London and choose one of those teams. I'm probably going to choose to stay in the United States.
Well, it would depend. I think there are a lot of wives that would say, oh, I'll go there for 2 or 3
years.
And
I think if they add incentives.
Like Brady? You know. I think Brady and Giselle, I know they're different, but they're the type of people, I think, that would be intrigued by that opportunity.
And if they can figure it out with salary cap and give allowances for the European teams, if you're being paid in pounds the same amount as you're being paid in U.S. dollars, well, you're making 1.5 times more than the guy in the U.S. if they allow for that.
For the cap.
Yeah.
And they also have to change it. I mean, if you tell me I'm going to have road trips that are the West Coast all the time, well, now I'm not really as interested.
Yeah.
You're going to beat the hell out of me. But if they get it logistically figured out so it's basically a normal season between home, away, East Coast, whatever, however you figure it out so it's relatively close to what other, then I think there are certain people that would be very interested in it.
Warren writes in. He says, what a weekend, great game, great fun, and meeting great people. I just wanted to say how much of a legend your boss Fred is. He's a great man.
He is.
Wow. Couldn't agree with you
I
more,
agree.
Warren.
Boy, he just threw up on himself.
We do, however, get on to Eskal. Well, he went to MIA in London, didn't turn up to the Friday night party with some excuse not even his mother would believe. When we get to the Saturday party and says hello and is never seen again, what can we say? Eskal, as he likes to be known, was worse than the man behind the velvet rope a few years ago.
Yeah.
And he never let you down for that night ever again. The pompous... Wow. The pompous one has outdone you.
Yeah.
I thought the team played really well. However, seeing the way the Rams were on Saturday at the rally, they were beaten before the weekend had begun. What can you say about Gronk? Firstly, he spikes the mic as requested by the crowd. He then scores 2 touchdowns, and his spikes in the end zone were crazy. The guy is really a boy in a man's body, but we love it. Finally, I want to thank everyone who organized the Saturday night party. It was great to have Mr. Kraft there yet again. And I'm sure Fitzy will never forget his chance to introduce him. Finally, massive thanks to the people behind the scenes at the Patriots. And, of course, James and Aiden from the UK Patriots. I'm sure all who were there will never forget the evening. Yeah, I had Fitzy come up on the stage. You know him?
He's the guy. He does Fitzy's webcast here in Boston.
Not a fan.
I think he's funny.
I've never seen it.
He was there, and I had him come up and say a few words.
Scott used to make fun of Britney Spears.
He's the one that said,
leave my Brady alone.
Paul doesn't like it because he likes Britney Spears.
he's
got the laugh behind the glass on that one.
He's just not funny.
Tyler from Georgia. A lot of people seem to be concerned on Twitter and the blog about Welker's injury, but I just don't think it's much to worry about. First home game after a bye against a divisional rival. Wes is going to miss it because my ankle hurts. Are you crazy? That's all I got. Keep up the good work.
The only thing that concerned me a little bit is his response of, I think so. Are you okay? I think so.
Yeah, he wasn't sure.
I'd like a little more certainty out of that sentence.
Yeah.
And is it the same ankle or the different ankle? Is he going to be running on two bad ankles now? Because he was already on the injury report with a bad ankle.
Yeah.
And then his cleat gets caught in the turf. Is it a different issue now or the same? Because I don't like the idea of the quickest guy on our team having issues pushing in both directions. Right? That's not good.
I agree.
Nick in Victoria says, I sent this to the pregame show. Did you forward it to Lloyd before kickoff? It's like a little conversation that Lloyd's having with Tom.
Or himself.
Lloyd says, what do you think the chances are of a quarterback like you and a receiver like me connecting on a TD together? Tom says, well, Lloyd, that's difficult to say. I mean, we don't really. Lloyd says, hit me with it. Just give it to me straight. I came a long way just to see you, Tom. The least you could do was level with me. What are my chances? Tom says, not good. Lloyd says, you mean not good, like 1 out of 100? Tom says, I'd say more like 1 out of 1,000,000.
So you're saying there's a chance.
So you're saying there's a chance. Exactly. You got it.
You know what that's from.
What?
Dumb and Dumber.
Oh, it is? Oh, okay.
You don't like that movie, so you didn't get it, but it's
now
a phenomenal movie.
He's watching Fitzy making parodies of Britney Spears about Tom Brady.
But that's funny. Dumb and Dumber, not funny, but that's funny. What you pass is funny.
Dumb and Dumber is not funny.
Dumb and Dumber wasn't funny?
No, stupid.
Of course it's stupid. It's supposed to
be. But there are some stupid things like Airplane and, you know, Old School, which are hysterical.
So's Dumb and Dumber.
No, it wasn't clever at all. It was just dumb.
You're an idiot.
You know,
Dumb and Dumber
20 minutes
funny.
Of the thing was him in the bathroom, like, making noise and smells. That's not funny. You know,
for 20 that's all minutes. That's all you took out of that movie.
Yeah, that's it. It you know... Enough.
There's no accounting for taste.
Like, you know, he just pulls up to What's-Her-Face and says, you have a lovely accent. Is that Jersey? You know, I mean, like, you don't find that funny? Like, I don't know. Maybe I'm just too immature
nice
for you.
Hooters.
Michelle in Stockholm.
I'm from Austria. Put another shrimp on the barbie. I mean, maybe I'm just immature and I find these things funny. I don't
know. Visual humor of when he throws the snowball at her from about 3 feet away.
The speed of the game. Wow, I forgot about that, says Michelle. I had really good seats at the Rams end zone and saw Gronk and his international spike.
International
Dennard
spike.
Looks really athletic to me and a bit Ty Lost. The international fans had 4 drunk Irishmen behind me, didn't understand a word they said. And in front of me, a woman who couldn't stop filming her husband. Next to me, a Jets fan who took off his hat when they showed the score on halftime. I didn't touch the Rams flag that they put over our section.
Oh, I saw that.
But last but not least, I told 2 Patriots fans to stop waving the Rams flags that they gave out for free. Too bad I missed Eric and Fred. Maybe next time. You guys are the best.
There's no video attached to this?
No.
She was supposed to send some nudity.
She was going streaking.
Oh, really?
And supposed to send video HD.
Oh.
Or tatas.
If they gave out Rams flags, I didn't see any. Did you see people waving Rams flags?
I saw the big one. No, I didn't see little ones.
No, but I thought it was cool the way they had everybody for the national anthem and God Save the Queen with the flags and the fans.
God should save that singer. What's her name? Catherine?
She was great.
Oh, absolutely.
She was an opera singer.
Well, that's our point.
That's why I want God to save her.
Did you actually
especially
see her?
Especially her tremendous breasticles.
Well, I didn't see her up close, but I heard she was...
She is smoking and really good. She was
quite
good,
a nice
right?
looking bird.
Oh, God, yeah.
A nice looking bird. Yeah, very well done for Eric.
Yeah.
What'd you think of the anthem over
E-scal.
There? For the
I love... It was okay. I love the idea of singing along. I think we should do that more. But then somebody made the point on the blog, because I mentioned it. Yeah, but... The people that sing it change it up too much. You can't even sing along with half of the people. And it's a good point. Sing it the way it's supposed to, it was written, and then we can sing along with it.
Sorry, I didn't mean to bring it up.
Rant over. Rant over.
And rant.
Web radio at patriots.com, 508-298-0398. We'll be
How about Ridley?
We haven't 1:30. Talked Don't forget. What?
We haven't talked Ridley yet.
Yeah. He just ran like a mother.
He's great, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I just, it's so funny that to me, if I had said to you, through eight games, Stephen Ridley's going to have 700 yards and change, you would have been ecstatic, I think. Like, wow, we got our back. He has 150 carries. He's right on the pace for 300 carries. After I heard Bill in August say, you know, if we had a guy to give worthy of 300 carries, we'd give it to him. Remember that whole discussion, Corey, you know, do you ever think there'll be another Corey Dillon? And most people said there'll never be another Corey Dillon with this team. Well, you got a Corey Dillon right now. Through a half a season, you have your Corey Dillon. 300 carries.
You're having trouble
what
with
the
that?
Matter?
I don't know, 300
like
calories. I keep wanting to say calories. 300 carries. He's going to get 1,400 change potentially. 400 or 500-yard games. When they rush for 100, they win. When they don't, they lose. And yet, it's almost like a bad thing.
Enough with that damn balance, Paul Perillo says to start the show.
And I just think it's so weird.
I loved the way they did it this week. I understand that, you know, it's easy to sit there and say, well, when everything worked to perfection, oh, they should do it like that every week. I know it's not.
When they win 45 to 7, that's how it's done.
No, but I know you're not going to score touchdowns.
Start with
on a 50-yard
play allowed.
but I'm understanding that you're not going to score touchdowns in your first five possessions, regardless of your scheme. You're not going to do that every week. You know, this was a perfect week of offense. There's nothing to even John Rook will have a – well, he's not going to be here anyway, but he would have a hard time nitpicking the offense off of this game. But I like the idea of coming out and spreading the field with Brady in the shotgun and getting started that way and scoring points. You know, Ridley had about 30 yards at halftime. He got all his yards in the second half. That's what I want.
Well, I like.
I don't want to waste time with potential punts in the first half because I'm trying to establish a running game.
I just like the idea of looking at what they're offering and taking what they give you, no matter what it is, and just keep doing it.
Yeah, see, I like what they did Sunday.
Don't be
they didn't worry about what the other team did. They said, we're going to do this, and you can't stop us.
Don't be balanced for balance sake.
Biatch.
Don't mix it up just to mix it up to try to get – just if something works, keep doing it. I don't care what it is, you know. And it also goes to show that – any coach worth his salt, if he's got a guy that can produce, he's going to keep going through.
Right.
It's not there's no philosophy involved, like, oh, I want a running by committee approach. If you got a guy who can produce with 300 carries, you're going to give him 300 carries. You know, we get so caught up in whether it's defense or offense, the philosophy and the history and all this stuff. Coaches
and Bill's been
coaches
definitive.
Know their personnel and they use their best guys.
I mean, he's now said in various points of his tenure, if you have Reggie White, you play Reggie White.
Right.
If you have Corey Dillon, you play Corey Dillon.
That's right.
So if both sides of the ball, he's basically said, if I have a star,
right.
He'll play.
If you have Lawrence Taylor, you just line up and play.
Yeah, of course.
You know?
He had Wes Welker and he benched him.
Well, that's the exception. I was going to bring that up.
Wow.
He had Wes Welker and he didn't start him.
You know, but you know, oh, when you with the Giants, you didn't do any, you know, game planning type defense. Well, you didn't have to. You had guys that just beat their man on almost every play. You didn't have to.
I'd like him to do some game planning on defense now.
But the other part of it that I thought was really impressive in the second half was what Andy and I have been talking about all along with the changes to Ridley from Green Ellis. And he only had 15 carries in the game.
Oh, by the way.
He didn't get a lot of carries, but he makes big plays.
By the way.
When you average 8.5 or whatever
exactly.
A carry, it doesn't take too
but
many.
But he had like three runs of more than 20 yards?
He always does. I wonder if this is updated, but he and Peterson had the most 10-yard runs in the NFL.
Those are 3 8-yard runs with Green Ellis. I'm sorry. That's what they would have been.
By the way, before the fourth and goal call and they scored,
yep.
Somebody on the blog writes in, geez, where's Ben Jarvis Green Ellis when we need him? I'm like, really?
We never needed Ben Jarvis Green Ellis. He was a nice complimentary
right.
factor. We never needed him,
Shane
ever.
Shane Vereen ran it in.
And you know what? The Bengals don't need him either, and they're realizing they don't
right,
need him.
Right, oh, my God. I just couldn't believe that.
I like Vereen, too. I know his numbers weren't huge, and he had the one decent run and the touchdown, but I like him. I think he can be really good in this offense. I really do.
He had a nice cut on that run.
Yeah, oh. I think he can. He's not... What's that noise? Somebody just fart on the air.
Yeah, I just went, my cup.
Good to know. Andy just learned a new sound bite. Gotta get it. Give me a cup.
What were you saying about Vereen?
I think it's nice how it's developing, too. Ridley's your guy. He's the starter. I don't think there's any more. You're right. There's no committees and questions or whatever. They still have their personnel groups, but I think Vereen in his role can be really, you know, Joseph Addai-like or whatever that next level catch a little, run a little, draw. I think he's better than Woodhead. I think that nice 1-2 punch you could have with those two guys a year later than maybe you wanted it to and slow to develop with Vereen, I think there's still a lot of potential there.
John in the Sunshine State writes,
no, what do you mean? You can't say state?
30 calories.
You're only till 1:30 today? That totally sucks. I don't listen to EEI. They can't hold your collective jock strap. You guys are the best when it comes to Patriots football, and I've been a Patriots fan since the 70s, and glad you made it home safe. Thank you.
They also aren't even really talking Patriots football. I heard it's all Celtics today.
Celtics and probably Red Sox management? No?
I think it's all Celtics because the Celtics are kicking off.
No.
Is that true?
Yeah, that's what I heard.
Yeah, they are kicking off.
No.
Well,
they're tipping off. That's what they like to say in that sport. No. Just the tip.
Well, they have Celtics games there, right?
Yes.
Yeah, of course. So they have to.
Well, they also have Patriots Monday.
They have to pump up. I've never stopped them before from not talking Patriots.
Why don't we talk Patriots while we have the time to?
Eric is in San Francisco. Guys.
How appropriate that is.
I don't even know what that means, but okay.
Our Eric.
Our Eric is
what is San Francisco, known for?
Okay.
Other than rice-a-roni and trolleys.
It's always on your mind. Guys, I'm a Boston native, but my wife and I are from San Francisco. We made the trip to London to do the tourist thing, but primarily to take in the game. The week before that, we were in Boston and hit Foxborough for the Pats-Jets game. Needless to say, a great vacation, and kudos to my wife for agreeing to go to 2 Patriots games in as many weeks. I was able to meet both Fred and Eric at the Sports Cafe in London for the pregame party hosted by the UK Pats Club. We did not have tickets, but I told the doorman Fred Kirsch had my tickets, and bingo, we were let in.
That's funny. It didn't work when I worked for him and tried to get in using his name.
I felt bad about that for a second. It was a great time. I told Eric he was a great writer, so stuff it, Andy. And Fred, I did something I swore I would never do. I treated you like a celebrity. I managed to find you on stage after Kraft gave his slurring rah-rah speech to the crowd. What? I then asked him to take a picture with my wife, which you graciously agreed to do. Sorry I made you do that. I got caught up in the moment. It was a great game, and the fans were great, and some of the locals surprisingly knowledgeable. Brady put on a clinic, but I still have concerns over our secondary. Bradford just wasn't on, but I still believe that most QBs can carve up the back end. Do you guys discern any real improvements there?
Yeah, Dennard. I think he's an improvement. And if they can get healthy, as you said, the safeties were out.
Win a job like Marquise Cole? Do you think, like,
I
even
actually was impressed with him before he got hurt, but he didn't see
But we've
see
been
enough.
Asking for him for weeks, and for some reason he was on the do not play list for a while. That list seems to change. Like, it's like every week there's a certain couple guys that are, nope, you're not playing this week. You're off. Take the week off. You're not playing.
I know,
and
Bill is
then
always.
They come back.
I'm sorry, Andy. I know Bill is always negative, you know, after a win. You know how, like, after a big win, he always finds something to be upset about, you know, because that's what coaches do. They want to make sure you don't get too high. I actually thought that his sort of dampened spirits about the defense were accurate in that game. The 7 points to me was great because it's such an improvement over what we've seen. To have them come out and hold the team to 7 points was really, really exciting because they've really been struggling. But, just watching the game and watching the amount of throws that Bradford completed, I think Bill used the comment, you know, would I like to have, you know, forced an incomplete pass or two. I mean, it was like 14 for 16 or 16 for 18 at one point. This was one of those old-time games where the offense bludgeoned the Rams. The offense did as much damage to the Rams' offense as the Patriots' defense did. You know, after a while, like you said, Fred, they just kind of quit. And they stopped playing because they realized it doesn't matter how many times we move the ball down the field today, we're not going to be able to match this team. We can't stop them, and we're not going to be able to keep up. They got in bad situations. They committed way too many penalties as a team. And I thought the Rams were their own worst enemy offensively. I thought they moved the ball reasonably effectively, and then the Patriots offense put the game away.
Mark and Cheddar writes in, "Hey guys, and the Sultan of Stubborn."
That's me, I assume.
First off, I hope everyone is okay following Sandy, or I hope everyone stays okay until it's fully passed. I see that Mr. Draft is struggling to defend his Wilson Hart throw a dart index this week, but that is not what I want to talk
about. Nothing to defend. The numbers never lie.
Yeah. Simple question. Who won the battle, Solder or Quinn?
Solder.
Or will Andy go with Solder won the battle, but Quinn will win the war?
Well, yeah. No, Solder definitely owned him. Absolutely owned
Solder
him.
Solder killed him on Sunday.
And that's fine.
And Andy had said that.
Now, isn't that sort of what we talked about in the summer practices where you go, Well, theoretically, you want Chandler Jones and Nate Solder to both be Pro Bowlers. So when they're on the practice field, you want both of them winning some plays, right? Isn't that how you looked at it?
When they're on the practice field, you want
Solder,
both of them, right?
And you don't want one dominating the other.
Right.
I think if Solder and Robert Quinn played every day, I think Quinn would own him on certain days. But Solder won this battle.
But when it comes to the game, Solder kills him.
They've only played once, so you can't make that definitive declaration. Well, no, you can't.
Based on the evidence we have, Quinn sucks.
What evidence is that? Him with seven sacks? Is that the evidence you have? No, is that the evidence you have? I just want to know what the evidence is. That he's, what, third in the league in sacks?
Yeah, seven sacks, or is he a seven-sack guy?
But based on the evidence you have...
No, he's a 15-sack guy, is
Nate,
what he is.
Nate Solder owns him, based on the evidence
Solder
you have.
Solder owns him, right.
You can't
right.
say that Quinn sucks.
Solder
That's ridiculous.
Owns him. Solder
That's
owns
ridiculous. That's a horse poo answer.
Whilst I sat
you,
on the...
You managed to do it, though. He started off the show by saying his guy got killed, but you managed to make him defend him.
Whilst I sat on the Patriots...
Okay, Paul, would you take Chandler Jones or Robert Quinn?
Jones.
I know your answer. I don't need your answer.
Bigger upside.
I think
we
I
know
would,
what Quinn is.
No, that's ridiculous. To say that is absolutely asinine.
I need to see a little bit more of Quinn. I want to watch it. That was really the first game I really saw him play.
Right.
But I am intrigued with Chandler Jones's size and all. I think he can be special. I'm not sure Quinn can be.
Oh, I see. I think the exact
opposite. And I like Quinn almost
as
much
as you. No, I think Chandler Jones is the perfect Patriot.
You didn't know who Chandler Jones was coming out of
no, actually.
Oh, actually, that's untrue. He told me. This
Jesus,
is. I gotta give him
this
another,
man is a moron!
I got to give him another nod here, Andy. When I was at the Combine, Andy didn't go to the Combine this year for the first time, but he called me, or he sent me an email, I forget, and told me one guy that kind of caught his eye was Chandler Jones. This was before the Combine started. And I had just gotten to Indy, and he told me to keep an eye out for Chandler Jones.
Remember what D-Generation X used to do?
I'm dead serious.
Suck it!
That really happened.
Whilst I sat on the...
But now I gotta say the whole story now. In full disclosure, Andy then watched some tape of him and soured on him in a hurry.
I did, but all the tape we had on him was in the knee brace after the injury, and he didn't look very... fluid, athletic. He even had, I think it was a fumble recovery that he returned about 40 yards down the field, and he just didn't look good. I would have liked to have seen more tape of him, and I didn't have a library of it, of him at his best, at full speed, not hurt, no knee brace. I've said all along since he got here, I've loved every day. I've seen, every time he plays, you see something new he can do that you're intrigued by.
But I like the long arms and his
ability
to play the run. That was a great play.
That was a very good play. Yeah.
That was a great play.
I'd like to see him dominate more. I don't see him dominate enough. That's my one concern with him.
I agree.
When there's a third string off the street left tackle, I think you should have four sacks that day, four quarterback hits, a forced fumble, not just one shoestring sack that you pointed out. And that's all he had.
That so is, he sucks.
No, I didn't say that.
No, but that
I want to see him dominate when
Jones.
He should dominate. He played Juan Bautista or whatever the hell the name's guy was from Arizona. I predicted five sacks. He disappeared.
Like
he didn't play all that well. You need to dominate when you're by far the better player. He has yet to prove he can
he's
do that.
He's still young.
I had a guy email
So's
me.
So's Quinn. Who do you think's younger?
I can't believe he only has six sacks. It seems like he has so much more than that. And I was actually thinking to myself, no, because he's got six sacks. He's made about 10 plays. Like, he shows up and he makes a sack. And that's really the only time you notice him.
But he's
during
also
the course
forcing
of the game.
A lot of pressures, forcing passes, clogging up lanes.
See, he's going to turn this into ripping Chandler Jones,
and
it's not supposed to be that.
I don't mean it to be sounding like that because I'm very, very
Fred,
impressed.
Do you watch these games?
I'm extremely impressed with Chandler
Jones. Do you watch
Jones.
These games? For example, Clay Matthews earlier this year, who was I watching, Paul? When he dominated every snap, there was about a 12-play span where he was unblockable. Every single play.
Yeah, Clay Matthews gets to choose who he wants to go after. He's all over the place. He gets to pick his hole and just go after any guy he wants.
So Bill Belichick doesn't
it's
do that?
It's a different position. It's a different type of hole.
Bill Belichick hasn't done that with Chandler Jones?
He moves him from side to
well,
side.
Well, if we're just going to rationalize
he doesn't roam around
if we're just
like
going to say anything
so what does that mean?
In defense of Chandler Jones, then we can't have a legitimate football
Jones,
discussion.
Beat the guy in
it's
front of
you.
It's
not all about sacks. I've seen
no, it isn't. That's
what
my
we're
point.
Talking about. He either gets
with
the sacks or you don't
only about sacks.
No,
I'd like to see pressures. I'd like to see
you
more.
You just said the whole thing. He's
winning.
Made the ball come out. I haven't seen that a lot this year.
I'd like to not see him get washed down into the guards every single time there's a run play to his side. Because a lot of times he gets killed on those down blocks from the outside.
Dennard's interception the game before this one was because of Chandler Jones. He was all over it. The
and
guy
you,
had to
you,
throw it up higher. And
you
it
called
short.
That good pressure? That
yes.
Because that was the play that Sanchez looked to the left for about 25 minutes and then saw Stephen Hill by himself in the end zone and try to throw one up.
It's amazing how you do this.
It's unbelievable. unbelievable how you just don't ever
you
give
turn us on guys we love.
I don't know how much more credit you can say here, to say that. I've been very impressed with Chandler Jones.
If Jones was on the other team, you'd be like, well, yeah, but Quinn doesn't.
And when Andy asked me the question, who did I take?
It's unbelievable.
When Andy asked me the question, who did I take?
You were,
Chandler Jones.
You were forced to take Jones.
No, I wasn't forced
why?
To.
Why? I'd take
he
Quinn.
He took Quinn. I would take Jones. I like.
So why don't you give him credit?
I am giving. I just told you I would take Chandler Jones.
Then why would you do that if he's not that good?
I didn't say he wasn't that good. You did.
Let me finish Mark's email.
I love when you try to put words in my mouth. You can't do it.
As the trade,
you're not smart enough.
You're not smart enough to put words in my mouth.
Whilst I sat on the Patriots logo and goal line right up to the top row of the stadium on Sunday, I saw what I expected. The Patriots won comfortably, but gave up a long pass touchdown as well. As it's the trade deadline, a trade game, who would you trade or not? Brady for Bradford?
Not.
No.
No, my God.
Welker for a second rounder?
Not.
I wouldn't. I think that's fair value, but I think it would disrupt the team, and I think they have a chance to go to the Super Bowl.
Plus,
Welker
they do
for
with
a first
rounders.
Rounder?
No.
I'd say no to. Okay, you're not answering.
If it's at the end of the season, I would.
Well, when he's a free agent and he's going
to
leave
when
anyway.
When you're not allowed to do it, yeah, I would do it.
Not right now.
If the trading,
deadline
did
is Thursday.
Did they bump it back today?
Well, did they bump it back again, you mean?
Yeah.
They did move it to Thursday.
Yeah. Yeah.
No, it was supposed to be today, I think.
Yeah, well, I'm sorry.
Oh, okay.
They bumped it to Thursday. Okay. And, so in other words, after this week, Fred, you can't make that deal.
Right.
So you can't wait
till
after. You can't wait till after you get knocked out of the playoffs.
I wouldn't now. I would have at the beginning of the season. Let's put it that way.
When he was a backup.
Yeah. Based on his position on the depth chart at the start of the season, Edelman must be worth more than Welker. So, Edelman for 2 second rounders.
In a heartbeat, if I could.
I'll be driving him to the airport.
And the last one, given Eric's Twitter name change to disassociate himself from PFW, Mrs. Draft for Vito Stellino.
Oh, in a heartbeat.
You would take
the entertainment factor of having Vito Stellino in here 5 times a week? Are you kidding me?
Before I go, I just want to do an Andy and pat myself on the back. Before the season, I said that Chung was not worth the discussion that the Boston media was giving him over the contracts of top safeties. I am the driver of the Jake Beckett is on Sean Crable Avenue. There is still room.
You're not including us in the Boston media, I hope.
No, I don't think
so,
because we were very critical
of
the Boston
media. I don't even know if it was the entire Boston media or your guy, Jeff Howe. You're Jeff Howe guy.
There's
Howe.
Been some references in the Globe too, but Howe is really.
He was like driving that train of 40. There's the market. What market? Not every safety, because they're not as good, deserves $40-something million.
Yeah, and I think it's like $5 million a year. They have him sort of in that $5 to $7 million a year range, and no, I don't think he's that kind of player. If he wants to stick around for a team friendly deal, you know, a couple million.
Especially not for you, because you want to move McCourty to safety.
I don't
now
want
you have
to.
McCourty
I don't want to just get rid of Patrick Chung. I think that he has value, but $5 million. I'm not making him a franchise type safety like Michael Griffin signed the franchise tender and then signed a contract, and that was what sort of elicited that response from the Boston Herald. No way is he that kind of.
I have
player.
A question. This is a legitimate football question. You know how, like, sometimes a quarterback will sort of hand the ball off forward to a guy, kind of reach around and put it. If it's
around?
Fumbled, is that still considered a handoff or is, you know.
Yes.
Or is it a forward pass?
No.
It's not a forward. Okay.
If he's handing it.
Yeah.
Then it's not a pass.
Okay. All right.
Oh, he just. If he's handing it to him, it's not a pass.
No, I just wonder.
No, I think that's
not
the distinction.
Lateral,
right.
Yeah.
If it doesn't leave the quarterback's hands, it's not considered a pass.
Right. Okay.
I believe that's the rule. I'm not. You know what? I shouldn't get into that. I'm probably wrong about that.
He was so definitive, okay. And he just said he's wrong.
So let me take.
I said
one step
I shouldn't be
well,
definitive
let's
about
just say
it.
That,
I'm probably
let's just
wrong.
Say that you've got the ball and you're running with it. You're over the line of scrimmage now, and you've got a player, you know, one of your teammates next to you, and you're about to be tackled. If you hand it to him, but he's technically in front of you, is that legal?
No.
No.
It's not, even though it didn't leave your hands.
Because you couldn't throw it to him either. You can't do
anything. I know you can't throw it to him.
You could hand it to him behind you as a lateral.
Right, right. Yeah,
anybody can do that.
Right.
But you don't see too many times in the pros where you hand the ball off forward.
No, you
Brady
don't.
Does it occasionally,
I've
though.
I've seen Brady, and I saw
out of the gun,
Elway used to do it.
The one back out of the gun, wrap around handoff,
yes.
and Woodhead will be in front of him.
Yep, yep.
Yeah, I haven't really noticed that too much. I mean, I see the the play that Andy's talking about out of the gun. I just don't notice.
So anybody else who does that can't do it.
Right.
That was the prototypical Andyism. Yeah.
Only the quarterback can hand off forward.
That's true.
Right? Although, no, behind the line is fine.
Behind the line of scrimmage is...
But what if it's a direct snap to Falk and he does it?
Well, then he's the quarterback.
Right.
Wow. No, but like, say you ran a double reverse. Do the handoffs always have to be behind,
earlier,
or can the handoff be in front?
Right.
Because that would be like a forward lateral.
Right.
But it's behind the line. Fred's just going to keep saying right. Where's Mike Pereira when we need him? And why are we talking about this?
I don't know.
Next time you see
it,
Freddie,
we had a short show,
out.
So Fred said I'm going to bring up a
Freddie,
random rule question.
Next time you see it, I want you to point it out to me.
All right.
Because now I'm kind of curious as to what we're talking about.
Cavern in Gainesville, I'm happy to be listening live for the first time in a long time. In addition, I hope that everyone made it home safe. We did. Now for my question. Last Thursday on Playbook, John and Eric talked about the most overrated player poll conducted by Sports Illustrated, and they asked, who is the most over and underrated player on our roster? I'm interested to hear what you think. For me, I have Lloyd or Chung as the most overrated, and Ninko as the most underrated.
Those are very good selections.
All three of them, I think, are pretty good. I agree with Andy.
Would I add to it? You know who's a weird one that I think has ridden the overrated and underrated is Vollmer. And so maybe he's right where he should be, but like he was a second team All-Pro, and All-Pro. And then I didn't really agree, but now I think he's playing so well, maybe he is a second team All-Pro type. But now he's kind of lost in the Solder evolution. So I think he's a guy that's ridden both ways on that. That's a good question. I like the Ninkovich one. Because I told you that last week. I was a guy that thought he shouldn't start. He was going to get worn down at left defensive end. And he's proving he can play. He should be playing. He's worthy of playing. He's a playmaker. I was wrong on him. He's underrated.
Yeah, I have to think about it. John and Claremont.
And Lloyd is definitely overrated.
Most of the overrated guys in my mind have sort of slipped, so they're not overrated anymore, like McCourty. Jermaine Cunningham's a guy I think that gets a lot of, you know, if he gets healthy and he does that, you know, Ian Rapoport talking about the whole offseason, he had a proper offseason, he's going to have a monster year, and he's a backup.
He picked him as something, didn't he? Like his comeback player of the year or something?
Yeah, you know, he's a backup. He is what he is. He's a situational player. You know, but I don't necessarily think he's overrated because I think fans kind of look at him as that now.
Where are we at Gerard Mayo? We used to pick him as our most overrated on occasion.
I don't think he's overrated right now. I think he's played pretty solid.
Freddie, did you notice the statistical oddity out of the Brits scoring?
No.
They did the game book over in England, and I'm assuming it was NFL people, so I shouldn't blame it on the Brits, but not a single assisted tackle for the Patriots.
Really?
47 solo tackles, no assists. Huh. And the Rams, I think, had four.
Yes, 45 tackles for the Patriots, no assists. 46 tackles for the Rams with four assists.
Well, I noticed whoever was doing the PA announcement in the press box is having a hard time. And that was a game for seven. And
Were you, Gillette Stadium?
Yeah, evidently you were at a home game. The ball has been respotted.
John at Claremont, Florida, 20 minutes to cover the game, then 10 minutes to cover Eric's escapades in London.
Screw you.
I'm imagining Eric told this young UK lass that he was the head radio host of a very important show about the world's greatest sports team. So she decided to give the show a listen today, only to hear you guys rip him apart, PFW with the cock block from over the pond.
We're not blocking.
To say that?
No.
No and no.
It is kind of funny if she tuned in today and that's all she heard.
He would, but he wouldn't tell. No. She probably didn't know he worked for the Patriots. He said, I'm an artist who's abroad right now. He's Escal. You go on his other things. You know he doesn't list himself as a writer? He lists himself on, job...
InLink? LinkedIn?
Yeah, yeah. InLink. He's like Eric Scalavino of Scalavino Art. Like, there's no... It doesn't say he's like a writer. His actual job is
listed.
He doesn't
say what he makes his living.
No, no.
His next step is his screensaver is going to be his resume.
Yeah.
He just hates us.
He does.
Anything to get another job.
He just doesn't like us.
I don't know. I don't like him either, so it's fair. I mean, we're even.
But I mean, like,
I don't pretend like Paul and go have drinks with him every 5 minutes.
And his signature for his email is just from now on, it's just going to be like all his
accomplishments. It's not that he just doesn't like us. He doesn't like his job. He doesn't like the people here.
Because it's all beneath him.
He doesn't like us either, though.
His entire life has been beneath him. He shouldn't have been at BU. He should have been at Brown. He shouldn't be here. He should be at Guggenheim. It's all beneath him.
Let's see.
In his early 40s, he's still trying to reinvent himself
and find young lasses.
to play Scrabble with.
So now we know what Andy's excuse is for the Sanchez, but what is his excuse for quitting?
What was your excuse for Sanchez?
That he's been destroyed, as so many young quarterbacks are, by getting hit and multiple coordinators in a short span.
Figured you overcome it.
Like Brady? Oh, wait, he didn't get hit, and he didn't have coordinator problems.
No, but you can be, I mean, you don't have to be the greatest of all time to have overcome it. I mean, there's some guys that took...
Whoa. And who's going to say he's not overcoming? His career's not over.
No, I think Sanchez is never going to...
The Sanchez... Wait, who are we talking about?
I thought he said Sanchez.
Sanchez. I guess he meant...
I thought the Sanchez.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought you were talking about Sanchez.
I think Sanchez blows. I thought he blew coming into the league.
So I maybe thought you were talking about Sanchez.
He said Sanchez, but maybe he meant Sanchez.
Sanchez. I'm talking about
Bradford.
So what's
your excuse for him?
For Bradford?
Yeah.
What I just unveiled.
Yeah. Oh,
okay.
I don't need an excuse for Quinn, because when you have 7 sacks in your second year, you're great.
What if you have 6 interceptions in your first year?
I don't get it.
Is he great?
He was great that year.
Who?
Yeah. McCourty. He was a Pro Bowler.
In other words, it's a little early to be making declarative statements.
I don't think it is.
When you go from 5 or 6 in your first year
to
7
from year 1 to year 2, he improved. He didn't go backwards.
And when your team's star defensive end says in 2 years nobody's going to know who I am because he's the best athlete and player on this line, it means something to me.
Okay.
I know it means nothing to you, and you're still holding out hope.
We'll see.
I don't know what you're holding out hope for, that the defense can play.
They're number 12 in points allowed.
Oh, great.
Is that good?
Yes.
No, it's not.
Yes, he says.
And I like how he throws
it
out there.
It's better than being 32.
He throws it out there the week that they allow 7 points and they went from 23rd to 12.
Right. Their best defensive effort yet, and you throw it out. Well, I would argue the best offensive effort.
They have 8 games played, while a lot of teams in that mix have only 7. So.
But it's points per game, not points.
No, it isn't. Points per game.
Yeah, it is.
Points per game, they're giving up 22. They're 18th. No, they're 12th in points allowed.
Per game.
Per game. No one does it points.
It's points per game.
It's points per game.
Oh, okay.
Good Lord. He came back a different man.
All it took was one blowout for him to come back.
That's what
to
I
Fred.
Mean. He left and he was like an objective onlooker.
He had no confidence.
And he came back Homer Kersh.
Somehow convinced himself that the Rams were a formidable opponent. I'm going to back to my NFC West thing, by the way. It didn't take long.
I just think things aren't as bad as you say. Are the guys here from EEI? Oh, they're here. Okay. All right.
The whole division was over 500. I know it was really good. It didn't take long for the whole division, other than San Francisco,
to
be down.
It had nothing to do with the Patriots. It's all the Rams stinking.
No, I knew you were going to do this.
Oh, okay.
It's all about the Patriots.
I'm still not convinced that...
If the Patriots play well, it doesn't matter what the other team does. Remember that.
No, I think that a good team, if you're saying the Rams are as bad as they are, then that's exactly what a good team should have
exactly,
done.
But I think
so
Arizona and Seattle...
A good team.
I think Arizona and Seattle are the same. I don't have to admit the Patriots are a good team. I know it.
I wish you would sometimes.
I know it.
It'd be great
I know
to
the
do
Patriots
that.
Are a good team.
It'd be great
That's
to
why
that.
I picked them to go 12-4.
Yeah,
that's a good record.
But you changed.
I know
you
think they're going 16-0 every year.
Yeah.
I picked them to go 12-4. That's a pretty good record.
Actually, over the last 3 years, my record preseason has been worse than yours, and that's a fact.
Not this year. You picked them to go
12-4.
So it's not worse than mine.
Okay, it's never been better.
I've never picked them to go 16-0. You
I
have.
I am more level-headed.
Last
about
week
the
you picked
them
to go. Last year you went 15-1, correct?
No, I didn't.
Yes, you did. You said they have a tough schedule. 15-1.
I said that was a joke. But
yes or no, Andy?
Andy Hart. The record.
No
that
further
I,
questions.
I do not recall.
The record that I am most connected with is the one I put in the paper. All right, that's going to be it for this edition of PFW in Progress. We'll give way to the big show later on, Bill Belichick, and tomorrow we'll be back at noon, regular schedule.
That was another unpredictable edition of PFW in Progress, the podcast for informed Patriots fans worldwide. Like what you heard from the PFW boys? Then support the show and follow your team even more closely by subscribing to the paper that makes the podcast possible, Patriots Football Weekly. Get your subscription right now by calling 1-800-494-PATS or by logging on to pfwonline.com. There's even a web-only international option for Patriots fans outside the U.S. PFW in Progress, brought to you by the writers of Patriots Football Weekly.